Hi there. Welcome to the Balcony Gallery at the Emporium. My name is Michael Dickens, Director and Chief Curator of the Halsey Institute of Contemporary Art, located on the campus of the College of Charleston in Charleston, South Carolina. The exhibition we're looking at today is called Given the What For. This title comes from a Southern saying, one you might hear when someone is really laying down the law, calling someone out, or insisting on accountability. It's about reckoning, about the weight of one's actions, and that energy really runs through the work you'll see here. I curated this exhibition to highlight six incredible women artists who live and work in Southern Appalachia. Now, while they're rooted here, their work isn't confined to any one place. They draw from this region, but their visions and concerns are global. Across a range of media and materials, these artists are tackling pressing issues, social justice, environmental challenges, questions of personal and collective identity, and political unrest. Now, as you move through the gallery, you'll notice that their work doesn't just sit quietly. It challenges us, provokes thought, asks questions, and critiques the world we live in. Take your time with each piece and consider the conversations these artists are starting. Some of them may be uncomfortable, but that's part of the reckoning at the heart of Given the What For. For the next couple minutes, walk with me as I tell you a little bit more about the work that you're looking at. And we'll start with Stacy Kranitz and then work our way around the gallery. Stacy Kranitz is a Pulitzer Prize-winning photographer based out of Smithfield, Tennessee. For more than 14 years, Stacy has been making photographs in Appalachia, exploring how images shape the way we understand this region and its people. These photographs you see here are just a few from her larger body of work entitled As It Was Given to Me. Too often, Appalachia has been shown only through a narrow lens, either as a place defined by hardship or, on the other hand, as a romanticized escape from those same stereotypes. This work challenges both views, reminding us that neither tells the whole story. And instead of trying to prove or disprove a single idea about Appalachia, these photographs create space for a different kind of conversation, one that recognizes the complexity of culture, memory, and history here. The images don't settle into right or wrong, true or false. They ask us to see Appalachia with fresh eyes, beyond the limits of stereotype. Next on the tour is Erica Diamond. Erica Diamond is a textile artist based in Asheville, North Carolina. And what you're looking at are two bodies of work. Imminent Peril, Queer Collection is an ongoing series of stylish, bulletproof vests designed to protect members of the artist's queer community. The project began after the 2016 Pulse nightclub shooting and reflects each person's unique ideas about safety and style. And on display, each vest is paired with a short note about the wearer's personality and aesthetic, inviting viewers to connect with real people behind the garments. These aren't memorials or hypothetical ideas. They celebrate people living full, meaningful lives. The series asks us to think about who is valued in society and who gets to feel both seen and protected. Now, moving along to the other wall, the Home Goods series grew out of the Imminent Peril Queer Collection and explores where queer community members feel safest, at home. Using bulletproof Kevlar thread, the artist transforms everyday objects, doormats, curtains, safety blankets, and rag rugs, in the forms of protection and care. Doormats and curtains mark and guard the edges of our home, while safety blankets stand in for the people who make us feel secure. The queer rag rugs weave Kevlar with strips of fabric from clothing donated by the Asheville queer community, turning familiar materials into objects of strength and memory. Kevlar is strong, but the real power comes from the pride, resilience, and care of the community itself. The next artist we'll talk about is Katie Hargrave. She's based out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. We're going to skip the two framed wall pieces and go straight to the books. Since JFK, many political candidates have published books to tell their life story and to explain their ideas. But these books often follow the same predictable formula. In this project, the artist gathered all the Republican and Democratic candidates from recent open primaries who published books. For the GOP, it's 2016. And for the Democrats, it was 2020, and used a type of machine learning called a generative adversarial network, or GAN, to create two, quote, generic candidate books, one Republican and one Democrat. Each book starts with the same opening line, but what follows is generated by the machine, based on patterns it learned from the real candidates. The work playfully highlights how formulaic political self-representation can be, while also asking us to think about authorship, technology, and the ways human behavior can be replicated by machines. Now, if we go back to the framed pieces, using every political book published by the candidates during the 2016 and 2020 open primaries. These weavings translate the written language of the Democratic and Republican parties into visual form. By transforming text into textile, the work offers a new way to experience the ideas, rhetoric, and patterns that define each party, revealing both the similarities and distinctions embedded in their public narratives. Okay, around the corner, we'll notice the work by J. Lee Garcia, who's a printmaker based here in Knoxville, Tennessee. As a biracial Latina and seventh-generational Texan, the artist draws on both her European and Mexican heritage to shape her work. Her practice traces the historical and cultural roots of Texas, engaging with events such as the Mexican-American War, the Battle of the Alamo, and the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, and the Bracero Program, all of which have shaped the complex dynamics between white Texans and Mezzatino Texans. Through printmaking, papermaking, and sculpture, the artist examines her own biracial identity and family history, while exploring broader questions of racial and generational privilege and oppression. The work reflects on how historical events continue to influence contemporary ideas of identity, belonging, and cultural memory. One of the pieces you'll see here is the sculpture hanging from the ceiling. Bivouac, a hanging sculpture, takes its name from the term for a temporary camp without tents or cover. The work features paper, water, or milk jugs, adorned with paper monarch butterflies. In the context of migration, water jugs are often represent a vital lifeline for those making the treacherous journey, while the monarch butterfly migration offers a natural parallel. Each year, a, quote, super generation flies south to overwinter in Mexico before continuing the multi-generational journey north. Through this poetic installation, the artist draws connections between human migration, survival, and the cycles of nature. The next stop on the tour features the artwork of Liz Trader Williams, who's a photographer based in Asheville, North Carolina. Why I Rebel is a series of portraits and audio interviews featuring people who actively challenge prejudice in their communities. Each participant responds to the question, "Why I Rebel?" sharing their thoughts in an audio recording while their words are displayed across their faces and then rephotographed. The combination of image and voice gives viewers a personal look at their resilience, determination, and commitment to change. This work was created in collaboration with the Southern Equality Studios, the art program of LGBTQ+ nonprofit campaign for Southern Equality. The series invites viewers to reflect on their own beliefs and consider how they can help build a more inclusive and equitable society. The final stop on the tour is work by Susan Alta Martin, who's a photographic artist based in Colowey, North Carolina. Susan's work explores how we see and interpret the world and how those perceptions shape the spaces we inhabit. She's interested in the ways our ideas, formed through personal experience and the media we consume, intersect with physical reality and how landscapes can reflect social, economic, and environmental forces. Working in both photography and sculpture, Susan moves fluidly between two and three dimensions. She turns photographs into sculptures, photographs those sculptures, and then weaves both forms together, creating a conversation between ideas in the material world. By juggling multiple projects at once, she examines how our perceptions of the world shape and are shaped by the environment around us. Her newest work focuses on yard sales, capturing the colorful plastics and carefully arranged objects meant for display. Many of these items have been collected through gifts, giveaways, or purchases, but will eventually end up in landfills. Through her lens, these objects become a kind of geological record, capturing the culture and daily life of the present moment. And that concludes this brief curator-guided tour. I encourage you to go back through and spend a little more time with each artist and their work. And remember, when viewing contemporary art, please take the time to visit, engage, think, and repeat. Once again, my name is Michael Dickens, curator of Given the What For, and it's been my pleasure to present this work to you and to the city of Knoxville. Have a wonderful day.